Fine.
Okay, Representative Playfish.
Here.
Representative Jacques.
Here.
Representative Johnson.
She's here.
I see her right there. I've seen her. Representative Tittle.
Yes.
Representative Harris-Dodd.
Senator.
Senator Harris-Dodd, I'm sorry.
Vice Chair, how are you?
Fine, are you?
Good.
Mr. Benedict.
Here.
Ms. Carey?
Here.
And Ms. List is excused. Ms. Osgood?
Here.
Mr. Chabelski?
Here.
Really?
Ms. Roder?
Here.
Mr. Sanders?
Here.
Ms. Skolnick?
Here.
And Ms. Yeager is excused. And a quorum is present.
Great. I want to let everybody know you do have to be present to vote. That is one of the rules of the alleged council study. I have to jump in and out a few times. That's why we're going to move through things quickly. And for goodness sakes, the Assembly Republican Christmas potluck is today at noon. Food is my favorite dish. So we're taking two items off of the agenda today. Ledge Council 0022/2, 0023/2. We ran into some issues with DCF. That does not mean we're not going to work on them and have possible bills this session. They're just not ready for prime time. And instead of trying to push something through that we're going to have a big fight about later, we'd like to get it back in order first. We met with DCF, Ledge Council, and we have a few technical amendments to some bills. So we're just going to have Ledge Council explain the bill, explain what some of the technical changes are on that. Oh, and congratulations to the Senator. Good
Thank
to see you back.
And
then we're going to be voting on the packages that will head forward as we begin the legislative session in January. So we'll start with 14/2.
Approve the minutes.
Oh yeah, we have to approve the minutes. Without
moved,
seconded by Harris-Dodd, and without objection, a unanimous vote is cast. Now we'll move on to 14/2.
Okay, this is the draft that requires all public and private adoptions other than adoption by a step-parent to use a standardized home study. Version 2 makes a couple of changes. It removes the reference to the specific SAFE model and instead adds a description that is kind of outlined on page 5, lines 7 through 15, is where that substantive part of it is. About the petitioner being fit and qualified to care for the child, exercises sound judgment, does not abuse alcohol or drugs, displays the capacity to successfully nurture the child. And then the assessment system itself has to provide a reliable, comprehensive, and standardized qualitative evaluation of the petitioner for the adoption for their personal characteristics, civil and criminal history, age, health, financial stability, and ability to responsibly meet all the adoption requirements. So the draft also requires this standardized home study system to be used when licensing a home for foster care, and then that has to be updated for purposes of adopting the child. And the draft revises the piece on the clinical assessment instead of requiring it as under version 1 to then allowing the clinical assessment if there's cause for special concern about the placement for any reason. And it also adds another piece that was suggested by Judge Sanders to revise the current law jurisdiction and venue for adoption, which is only allowed where either the adoptive parent resides or where the child resides, and not where the termination of parental rights is. And so this adds a piece to allow that jurisdiction and venue to go forward in the county where the actual termination of parental rights is happening. I don't know if you want me to explain what the reasoning behind it is, or if you want to.
Not unless somebody is compelled to listen to the reasoning behind it.
It's a good idea.
All right, go for it.
So we do have a couple suggestions from DCF that are given in memo number 3. And if anybody doesn't have the copies of those ones that were emailed on Friday, we do have extra copies outside the door.
And the chair is okay with the DCF suggestions. They're very technical.
So on page 5, line 5, just adding the phrase about the home study being the court may order the home study to be supplemented for the purposes of the adoption. And then on page 5, the same page, on line 18, at the very bottom, and going on to the next page, rather than limiting it, the outside clinical assessment to just somebody outside of the entire organization that is conducting the home study, to being somebody outside the unit that is conducting the home study. And that's kind of a recognition for larger institutions that might have separate clinical areas that would do those kinds of evaluations.
Okay. We're going to ask, do we move passage or adoption?
You can have, well, move recommendation to
okay.
introduce. And then whether to include any of the
Yeah, the chair can just decide okay. to include. The chair is going to mm-hmm. include them without objection.
Okay.
So with those changes, I will look for a motion to move recommendation, which will move this piece forward to the legislature this coming session. Mm-hmm. So moved by
Mr.
Schabelsky.
Second.
Second by Jacques. Without discussion, the clerk will call the roll. If there's no discussion, I'm not telling you not to discuss it. That'd be rude. Those are great glasses, by the way,
oh,
Marty.
Thank you.
Are they new?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Go ahead. Well, they're not as fun as hers. All right, go ahead.
Okay. Representative Clayfish.
Aye.
Representative Johnson. She's outside the room. Representative Johnson on 14/2, the home study and jurisdiction.
Yes.
Representative Jacques.
Aye.
Representative Tittle.
Aye.
Senator Harris Dodd.
Aye.
Mr. Benedict.
Aye.
Ms. Carey.
Aye.
Ms. List is absent. Ms. Osgood.
Aye.
Mr. Chabelsky.
Aye.
Ms. Roeder.
Aye.
Judge Sanders.
Aye.
Ms. Skolnick?
Aye.
And Ms. Yeager is absent.
Well, just like it usually happens in the legislature, a unanimous vote. Way to go. We'll move on to 29/2. Margit will explain it and explain, Ledge Council will explain it and explain some of the technical changes.
Okay, so version 2 keeps the various pre-adoption training requirements from version 1 and adds that the training from another state may be accepted if it's equivalent to these requirements. And it also specifies that the agencies have 90 days to report the finalized adoptions that had been left open in the last one for just a window. So that's for reporting the finalized adoptions to the parks, and it removes the provision for adoptive parents to opt out and be excluded from that report so that all finalized adoptions that go through agencies are reported to the parks. And we have a couple revisions under memo number 2 and memo number 3. Memo number 2, that outlines the ones from Chair Clayfish. Page 3, lines 9 through 12, to require the trauma and other specific training in all cases rather than just where it's appropriate to the child.
Just because you don't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And again on page 3, lines 14 to 17, change the individual meeting with the park representative so it's at a location identified by the park representative. So it's still an in-person meeting, but then they're not running to, I think that's the idea.
Yes, so that it's, the onus is to get theirs on the parent, not the parks.
And then on page 4, lines 1 through 4, removing the DCF authority to make any rules on the number of hours, just, I think this was partly just because it looked in the language like they could require something else other than the 25 hours. And they still have authority to promulgate rules on the topics to be covered during those hours under both current law and under the draft. And then on page 5, lines 13 through 14, in the reporting to the park of the finalized adoption, to add the child's name and the child's date of birth. You want me to keep going for DCF?
Oh yeah, do DCFs okay. too.
Right, so right. Memo number 3 with the suggestions from DCF specify that the training from another state that would be equivalent just has to also be approved by DCF as being equivalent. And then again on page 3, lines 14 through 17, this was a different suggestion on the parks that didn't specify that it was actually with a representative of the parks, but there still had to be an in-person meeting to identify those services and talk about those services that would be available after adoption. So that would be one or the other from the suggestion from Chair Clayfish. And then page 4.
We're going to go with the chair's suggestion, which DCF is okay with, by the way.
And then on page 4, there are two notes on that page, and it's just to be a little bit more precise, because relatives do have to go through the pre-adoptive training if the adoption is made through an agency, like through the child welfare system. So it's just a making a little more precision in the note. So it's only in certain circumstances where relatives would be excluded from the training.
Ms. Rettner?
I have questions on both on the department's changes.
Okay.
One on the relative in certain circumstances, since we're talking about that. That it didn't feel more precise to me, it felt more vague. That, you know, in certain circumstances, like, because it doesn't link back to a statute or a rule that specifically says in what circumstances, because there are a lot of situations where a relative adoption is treated more like a step-parent adoption, and they don't have to go through all of that training. It's more of a streamlined process. If mom and dad die in a car accident and aunt and uncle are going to adopt them, it's a pretty straightforward process. It's a streamlined home study and everything like that.
Well, the note and the draft do not change the current law requirements of who must have the pre-adoption training.
Okay.
So it doesn't change the list, and that's required for the agency adoptions. I can go through that if you want,
okay.
But there's a specific list of who goes through that.
So it's not linked back to that.
Right.
Okay. So then my second question in the DCF change was the change on page 3 that says, and is approved by the department.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that raised a question for me about what is the mechanism for approval, and also whether it's only the department or a licensed child placing agency in the state can make that approval, because a lot of times that's what's happening is, you know, a family is matched by an out-of-state adoption agency. I'm working on one right now with American Adoptions in Kansas. We still have to have a Wisconsin agency involved here. And that agency is the social worker from that licensed child placing agency is the one who's saying whether their pre-adoptive education meets our standards. So I think if I have to send it off to DCF and try to find somebody to approve what's been done there, all of a sudden we're in a bottleneck.
We're worried about bureaucratic red tape,
yeah,
basically.
There you go. So I'm wondering if it could include, it says approved by the department, or a licensed child placing agency in the state of Wisconsin. That would
certainly could.
Yeah.
Why don't you just put that in there and just add that line? Okay. Would that satisfy you if that line was added?
It would.
Perfect. Going for unanimousness today.
Okay.
Unanimosity.
Just like you said, unanimity.
Unanimity.
Do you want a motion?
So without objection, the chair's going to add those to the recommendation.
Okay, so it'll be the 4 recommendations from memo number 2, and then
correct.
The first and third recommendations from DCF.
And first, third, and fourth.
From DCF. Oh, third and fourth, you're right.
Correct.
Those were separate notes that were listed.
Okay.
And changing the piece about approval by the department or by a licensed child placing agency.
That's it. So we're looking for a motion for recommendation.
So moved.
Representative Tittle?
Second.
Seconded by the Vice Chair Johnson. Discussion? Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Clayfish?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Jacques?
Aye.
Representative Tittle?
Aye.
Senator Harris Dodd?
Aye.
Mr. Benedict?
Aye.
Ms. Carey?
Aye.
Ms. Osgood?
Aye.
Mr. Tobolsky?
Aye.
Ms. Roeder?
Aye.
Judge Sanders?
Aye.
Ms. Skolnick?
Aye.
Motion passes.
All right. We're humming. Okay, we're going to move on to 30/2 relating to readoption of a child. Ledge Council.
This draft maintains the readoption requirements from the prior draft, but it limits the court's approval of an adoption that was already granted in a foreign country to being a determination of whether all procedural requirements have been met and whether the foreign court order had the effect of already granting the adoption. There is a suggestion in memo number 2 from Chair Clayfish on page 7, line 16, in the requirements for the list of what has to be gone through in order for the court to approve it, to specify that the home study for an international adoption is the same home study that's required under state law and under in other circumstances.
And then Ledge Counselor DCS got a suggestion too, correct?
We don't have a specific suggestion.
No, they don't. Okay, good. Okay, so without objection, we'll add the chair's edit to that, and then we're looking for a motion for adoption. Jacques, you're all over the place today. Yes. So moved. Seconded by Mary Osgood. All right. Getting her on the board. Seeing no discussion, clerk will call the roll.
Representative Clayfish?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Jacques?
Aye.
Representative Tittle?
Aye.
Senator Harris Dodd?
Aye.
Mr. Benedict?
Aye.
Ms. Carey?
Aye.
Ms. Osgood?
Aye.
Mr. Tobolsky?
Aye.
Ms. Roeder?
Aye.
Mr. Judge Sanders?
Mr. Spine, too.
Okay.
Aye.
Ms. Skolnick?
The Reverend Aye. Mr. Judge Sanders. How about that?
Motion passes.
Great. Okay, 31/2.
So this was the tracking draft that required various petitions and agreements under the child welfare or juvenile justice system to include a statement of whether the child had previously been adopted. And so version 2 adds 3 additional types of petitions to those ones that were already listed under version 1. One for the general guardianship proceedings, one for the guardianship proceedings under the Children's Code, Chapter 48, and then one for the proceedings for court approval of a power of attorney for parental rights. The power of attorney for parental rights and the general guardianship proceedings might not fall under the child welfare system, so they might not necessarily be tracked immediately at this point in time, but that gives the courts something to work on if they're able to work their systems into it. And we do have a specific suggestion from DCF, and there was a suggestion in memo number 3. You'll see a handout at your desk or at your spot, which is memo number 5. There was a revision. The language on the annual reporting to the legislature is the same, so it still requires the number of children who get back into the child welfare system to be reported, but it consolidates it with 2 other reporting system or reporting requirements that DCF has. So it looks a little odd because it's deleting it from one place, but it's moving it over so it's all structured in one spot for an annual report. And I think DCF was feeling that this would make it a little bit stronger as far as getting their training up and running for all of the the agencies. They can say this is part of a reporting requirement. Try to make sure that this is a little bit fuller, because otherwise it could end up in the petition, but not necessarily, you know, somehow tracked in their system. So they're hoping that this would make it stronger for getting everybody on board for doing that, and creates a report.
Anybody have an objection with the specificities of the report, the annual report? Then we'll just have.
I just have a question. Does DCF say, you know, like, is there going to be an increased cost that they'll have to get up as far as doing the reports at all, right?
I think we're going to have to do this report anyway due to the federal sex trafficking.
Okay.
Yeah, so this would just be sending a copy to the state legislature,
okay.
But we're combining it with existing reports we already have for the state legislature.
Okay.
So without objection, we'll add that change at the request of the chair. Are you ladies from school? Are you studying and watching us today?
Yes.
Which school?
Beloit Memorial.
Which one? Beloit Memorial High School?
Yes.
Listen, this is moving pretty quick today. If you have questions about what this committee did, feel free to stay and ask some of the folks here. We have a panel of a vast array of experts here, so. But welcome, Judge.
No.
Or Mr. Shabelsky. You know, we've known each other for years, and I'm looking at Prisbaleski today going, how do I pronounce it? Yes, Ray.
I don't know if it was discussed with DCF. Is this something they're looking at tracking through the EWSAC system?
I think so. I mean, Freddie's the expert on it, but yeah.
Okay.
The delayed timeline on it, since it starts 2017, that's to make the modifications that we need, and then that it will coincide with when we have to start reporting to the feds. It'll be a little bit after when we have to start reporting to the feds.
All right, thank you.
All right, so without objection, we'll have that added to the recommendation, and we will entertain a motion for passage of the recommendation.
So.
Well, sir.
We're going to give the move to Ms. Roeder and the second to Representative Jacques today. Seeing no discussion on this final item we're voting on today, we'll have the clerk call the roll.
Representative Clayfish?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Jacques?
Aye.
Representative Tittle?
Aye.
Senator Harris-Dodd? Mr. Benedict?
Aye.
Representative, or Ms. Carey?
Aye.
Ms. Osgood?
Aye.
Mr. Chabelsky?
Aye.
Ms. Roeder?
Aye.
Mr. Sanders?
Aye.
Ms. Skolnick?
Aye.
All right.
Motion passes.
Motion passes unanimously. I'd just like to take a second to say that when our office realized that children were being essentially traded on Craigslist and Facebook on the internet, it not only came as a shock and a surprise, and we were extremely dismayed by it, but I did not realize that would be the beginning of delving so deeply into the adoption system in the state of Wisconsin. And I am a true believer that God puts you in certain places for a reason. And it has been an honor to work with the intellect and experience of the folks around this table. And I cannot tell you how wonderful it is that you've given of your time to do this. And I wanna say that there's no question in my mind, we are changing the lives of some adoptive kids and adopting parents in the future. So thank you so much for your hard work on this committee. I really can't say enough about the way this has been conducted, about how hard Ledge Council has worked, and Ashley from our office, and how well DCF has worked with our staff. It really has been an honor and a pleasure, and I can't say that as far as all Ledge Council study committees, no offense to Ledge Council, but this has really been a learning experience. I guess on the negative side of it, I did not realize, and I don't think the average person realizes what goes into this process and how many pratfalls there are to overcome. So thank you all, and please feel free to keep in touch with us. Because this is going to move on to the full legislature, and you have my promise, and I'm sure the Senator and Representative Johnson, Representative Tittle will promise you as well. We will fight to make this become law. I had a meeting with the governor yesterday and mentioned it to him, and I'm confident that when he sees these things on such a strong bipartisan will come to his desk, that we will see this change. Unfortunately, this is kind of just the beginning of it. So God bless you all, and thank you for your work. And Margit would like to say a few words.
So you will see these drafts that have had the revisions to them, you will get a mail ballot just to ratify that it looks the same as what you expected in the /3. It should be the same where there's the substantive revision that will be noted in the pref note, like for that tracking one, that there will be an annual reporting requirement.
Awesome.
By DCF. And then we will make sure, we will keep on top of this, obviously, in our office when this goes through in the next legislative session. So when there are hearings, the bills do go through the system like other bills after they've, if the Joint Legislative Council approves them for introduction. So there will be public hearings that will be held, and we will send out notices to everybody. Just a forewarning that some of those come up in pretty short notice. So sometimes it can be just a 24-hour turnaround. So,
and I would encourage any of you to come testify when they get their hearings in the committees, definitely. Thank you guys so much. Enjoy your Christmas coming up here. Take care.